This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of our Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saves others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since we are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for him. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These are some odd Sundays that we have here coming up. Well, actually, the readings for these Sundays seem rather odd today and next week. You see, next week is the beginning of Advent and the Christmas season, and you know all of the stuff that goes along with that. But the reading, the gospel reading, is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And today, the last Sunday of the church year, which is traditionally about the end times, the glorification of Jesus and all of the rest of us, and yet our reading seems much better suited for Good Friday. Did someone not know what they were doing? Well, actually, they did. Our reading from Good Friday is actually the beginning of the end. Good Friday and the cross is the lens that Christians should view all things. Everything before that day led to it, and everything after that day flows from it. It is the center of all human history. It is the day that changed the world. So on this last Sunday of the church year, we're going to look at the end through the cross, and our life and its end also through the cross. The way we're going to do this is to start by looking at one simple sentence from our gospel reading that Jesus spoke from the cross. We've all heard it a million times. We could all say it by memory. But today I want you to hear it a little bit differently than we do on Good Friday. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, when you hear these words, this is where you usually focus on the great love that Jesus shows praying these words. And we are right to react to them that way. We hear Jesus praying for the very people who put him on the cross, the man straddling him, holding him still, for the man driving the nails through his hands and his feet, for those mocking him as he prays these words, for all who hungered and thirsted for his death and would not be satisfied until he was in the grave. In this simple prayer, Jesus is saying, make the forgiveness I am winning today available to all of them. Only the love of God could pray such words. For you know how hard forgiveness is, and for much smaller things than this. How wonderful that we can still hear those words today. But this morning, it's really about the second phrase of that one sentence prayer. For they know not what they do. In context of that day, the people who put Jesus on that cross certainly did not know what they were doing. They did not know that the hands shattered by iron spikes were the hands that created all things and had knit them together in their mother's womb. They did not know the feet broken and disfigured by being nailed to the cross were the feet that walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day with Adam, and that one day all the earth would be their footstool. They did not know the head that they crowned with thorns was the head of the one who knows all things. They did not know that in his death was their life. They simply didn't know. But we think we know. And that's the problem. From Adam and Eve all the way to you and me today, we think we know. We think we know what we are doing. And therefore, we think we know what God should be doing. Those who put Jesus on the cross thought they knew what they were doing, getting rid of a troublemaker and a blasphemer who was going to bring down the wrath of Rome upon the nation. And they thought they knew what God should be doing. That is, if Jesus really was the Christ, was really God, he should jump down from that cross and save himself. And then there was those who believed in Jesus, believed that Jesus really was who he said he was, the very Son of God in human flesh. And they were probably wondering, as they stared up at the cross, does God know what he's doing? The question is as old as human history and is often on the minds of God's people. Because when we look around our world, it often seems that he does not. We heard it again this morning from the prophet Malachi. The people were saying, we're doing all of the things that we're supposed to be doing, what God told us to do. Mourning our sins, repenting and sacrificing, and what is it getting us? The arrogant are blessed. Evildoers are prospering. They are putting God to the test with their sins and their evil and perversions and getting away with it. Nothing seems to happen to them. Does God know what he's doing? Because after all, we know what God should be doing, right? He should be prospering us, blessing us, helping us, making our life easy and punishing them. Does God know what he's doing? Evil keeps advancing and I keep struggling. Does God know what he's doing? Because things don't seem to be getting any better at all. But you see, maybe Jesus is right. Maybe it's us who don't know what we are doing. How often do we do things and they turn out much different than we expected? When we thought we had what we thought would turn out to be good, turns bad. When what we thought would help only hurts. When we thought we had everything planned out only to see everything unravel. And then the opposite, something that we dread terribly sometimes turns out well. The truth is, there's way more going on here than meets the eye. God tells his people in Malachi, the day is coming, then you will see what you do not see now. But you see, we want to see it now. We want to see God punish evildoers. But the problem is, if he did, what would he do with us? We who hurt, we who lie, we who doubt and disbelieve, we who covet, we who rebel, we who do not love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength all the time. You see, there's a lot more going on than meets the eye. Paul told the Colossians that Jesus is the creator of all things, visible and invisible, as we have been studying in the Nicene Creed. And there is a lot more invisible than you know. What we see of God's working is only the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. So we do not know all that God is doing, how he is working, what he is doing in our world, in your neighbor, or in you. There's more going on than meets the eye, and that's especially true of the cross. Contrary to what you see, Jesus is not a criminal. He is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the atonement for the sins of the entire world, for your sins and for mine. And even though it does not look like it, in fact, it looks about as far from it as you can imagine, even so, God does, in fact, know what he is doing. And the day is coming when that will all be seen. Malachi prophesied about it. The disciples saw 3 days after the cross as Jesus rose from the dead. The before looked bleak. The after reveals truth and joy. And so also for us on the last day, it will be seen, but not before. For now, in this time, we have his words, his promises, and faith. Then it will all be seen. Until then, we say with the criminal hanging next to Jesus, remember me. Remember me in my sad state. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus does. Ascended high and in his kingdom, ruling over all things for us and our salvation, Jesus is remembering us, forgiving us, acting for us. And just as he said to the thief next to him, he's saying to you, you will be with me in paradise. When a child or an adult is baptized, Jesus is saying, you will be with me in paradise. When you believe the gospel and your sins are forgiven, Jesus is saying, you will be with me in paradise. When you receive the body and blood of Jesus in the bread and wine, Jesus is saying, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus is saying, I died your death so that you will be with me in paradise. To the thief, Jesus turns and said, today you will be with me in paradise. And it was that day. What day will it be for you? When your soul will enter the nearer presence of God and your body will remain here waiting for Jesus to come again? I don't know when that will be. And how will it be for you? I don't know that either. But it will be a day of joy. As Paul says, that you are delivered from the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What a wonderful gift to know that we have Jesus now. So we have forgiveness now. We have the kingdom now, even though you can't see it. So we see, in fact, God does know what he's doing. Always. Always working for our good. Always working that we hear those precious words, Father, forgive them. These are the words Jesus spoke from first to last. The words he wants you to hear and to hold on to from the beginning of your life to the end. That on that day, the last day, the great and final day, the one who would not come down from the cross will pull you up out of your grave and say, welcome home. Today you are with me in paradise. Amen.
You stand and confess.